Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable. Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
I hate Twitter. It's the worst thing ever. Facebook a close second. Actually, Facebook won, and then Twitter a close second. Actually, social media as a whole won. Worst thing ever. Sometimes it can be great. It was great yesterday when the Milwaukee Brewers tweeted out that video with one word, unbelievable, in response to what the Cubs had tweeted the other day. A mashup video of all the times Wilson Contreras got hit by the Brewers, and then it said unbelievable. Had the Brewers not retaliated on social media, I don't know if I would have still liked them anymore. They needed to do that for me, and they did it. Petty social media is good. Information spreading wrongly, bad, very bad. Sharing pictures to make your life look better that doesn't make you happier and makes people around you less happy because your life looks better. Very bad. Very, very bad. Digging up someone's old tweets because, I don't know, years ago he said he wanted to trade Devontae Adams. Me. Very, very, very bad. And the dumbest part about that whole Contreras thing was the video the Cubs shared. In the video, Wilson Contreras wearing an elbow pad leaning into the pitches.
I think like almost, you know, probably all of them except for two were all off his elbow guard.
Well, there was the one that hit him in the skull.
Right.
Accident. And look, if he's still mad for that, even if it was an accident, okay, fine. I mean, I would hate that too. Man. But good for the Brewers. They win the series again. So they dropped the series of the Twins. They've won every series since. Cubs, Cardinals, and then Cubs again. They've got the Pirates after an off day today. You mentioned in your update, well, a couple things that I want to bring up. Lorenzo Cain is on the injured list. Yelich didn't play that whole series. So now you're looking at a team that had too many outfielders having to call up another outfielder yesterday because they didn't have enough. So when they tell you things will work themselves out, things will work themselves out. There will be games later in the season where you're like, man, Avi's got to get in there. He's playing well, but there's nowhere for him to go. That will happen, but this will also happen. And the Brewers knew that coming in. Jackie Bradley knew that. Garcia was told about it. Cain, Yelich, they all know it. They want to win games. And right now, Lorenzo Cain's on the injured list. Colton Wong, still hurt, still on the list, serving the 10 days. Yelich, they didn't put him on the list yet, so I'd assume he's good to go by Friday. I think that was the plan this week is give him the series off because there's that built-in off day. Do they rush him back if there's no off day? I don't know what the same plan is. But having an off day sometimes when you're thinking about putting a guy on the list or not, having an off day is going to affect that decision one way or the other. So that's where the Brewers are at this point. Brewers have the day off, and then they start against the Pirates tomorrow. A couple other things you mentioned that I just want to touch on real quick. Brad Davison is back with Wisconsin. One, where else is he going to go? Two, I love it. I absolutely love it because for years, I've wanted the Badgers to have that guy. And Brad Davidson felt like that guy right away. He felt like that guy that's always been there forever. Aaron Kraft, Robbie Hummel, Ohio State, Purdue. Other examples throughout Big Ten history. Oh, my God, that guy's still there? Now we've got ours. And because of the COVID rule where this season basically did not count for eligibility, you're going to see a lot of guys that maybe they can't go pro. Maybe they never will go pro, but they want to play college one more year. Good for Brad Davidson. And that's a good thing for the Badgers. It's good to have him back. So I'm excited about that. I know Marquette had a big day recruit-wise yesterday, getting some guys even that there was a Brookfield Central kid that was going to go to Texas. Shaka Smart goes to Marquette. All right, I'll follow him right down the road from Brookfield. So Marquette fans very excited about what happened yesterday. Haven't heard yet on Pat Baldwin Jr. Hoping he goes to Milwaukee.
Please. We need it.
You're alma mater.
Yeah. People forget.
Yeah, and if Pat Baldwin Jr. goes to the Panthers, I'm gonna be a super fan. I'm gonna be a Panther maniac.
I'll be right there with you, man. We'll have courtside tickets and all that. Bring your own nachos to the game.
So what, it'll be the second Panther game you've ever gone to?
Oh, no. Like I said, both my older sisters were cheerleaders, so I went to a lot of games when Ryan Allen was there, stuff like that. Went to a couple when I was in college, so. Au contraire, mon frère.
Ah, I see. What have you done in Panther Arena, not Panthers?
Played some basketball there.
Oh, you did?
You know, worked out. Because it's the same, you know, the gym that they use. Oh, no, not Panther Arena. I'm thinking of when they, before they got back to the Panther Arena, they were playing the Clatchy Center, which is just the school gym and all that. So, you know, you'd pretty much be playing.
I wish that's where they played. I could walk there.
Right. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Mm.
But Panther Arena, I don't think I've really done much other than watch Wave games, and that's probably it.
Your boy interned for the Wave 1 year. Okay.
People forget.
People do forget that. Admirals, people forget. What else have I done there? Graduations I've watched. Ooh, some of the worst days of my life.
Well, my graduation was there, so thanks.
So long. What else have I done there? I went to a Packer. Went to a Packer traveling show to interview some guys, and one kid tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Are you Bart Winkler?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I hate you." I said, "Okay." I laughed. He goes, "I'm not joking. I hate you." Those guys used to attack me a lot on the internet. I don't know where they went.
And now look at you. Now you're meeting celebrities at the gas station, left and right.
No, I'm the celebrity at the gas station.
You got new pictures coming out, not looking like a lawyer.
No. I got gas last night, as a matter of fact. Went to stop, got a couple of, need a little pick-me-up. You know, I needed something for the dogs, something for the bar I have outside my house. Because I'm loaded, and I try to relate to you, but I have so much money that my stories, I think, are relatable, but they're not to anybody. But I was at the gas station. The guy says, "Hey, Bart. Bart Winkler, right?" I go, "Yeah, how you doing?" He goes, "I hate you." I said, "Oh, geez, why?" He goes, "Because I think you're a phony. You're a hack. I think you just do sports radio for the paycheck." I said, "I barely get paid." I said, "I work 2 days a week for free, as a matter of fact." They said, "I don't believe you. Also, you suck." Then he threw his mask at me and drove away. How about that? How about that for a story? Eric sends me a text. The birth of Austin 316 was there, of course. I will be in attendance when AEW comes.
What?
That's like you're very low key stone colding me. That was more like a burp.
What?
It's not a bad stone cold.
The only thing I know about him.
All right. AEW is going to be there later, I think, end of the summer. I paid for my tickets like 2 years ago, and they're finally getting around to being able to do traveling shows, although it could get postponed again. Who knows? But I will be there. I'm excited for that. Panther Arena, great place. And next year, Sam and I will be there watching Pat Baldwin Jr. Hopefully, but it seems like it's happening, but it hasn't yet. Donald Driver on the big show yesterday, great interview. You can check it out, the full thing, Odyssey app, where you can download pods, listen live, rewind. I always like Donald Driver's end-of-career decision because he thought long-term. Donald Driver retired a year or two earlier than he could have. He could have kept playing. Now, is it better to retire early or retire late? I would say retire late, because then you still get more, you get that money. But in Driver's case, where was he going to go? Well, guess where he was going to go. Guess who wanted Donald Driver?
Minnesota.
Yes. A team in the NFC North is all that you had to say. And then Minnesota. In Minnesota, it wouldn't have been the first receiver they brought over here. Everyone remembers the great Robert Ferguson. We all know the saga of Greg Jennings. And Greg Jennings went one way, and Donald Driver went another. Greg Jennings went the way of keep playing. He played in Minnesota, then played in Miami. Now he's doing some media stuff. Now he's trashing the Packers at every turn. Hey, we need somebody to jump on Cowherd's show and trash the Packers. Do we know anyone? Oh, Greg Jennings will do it. All right, there you go. With Donald Driver, he picked the route of, look, they love me here. Why do I want to not stay here? Think of all the endorsement opportunities. I can click at her ticket. I can work with Quick Trip. My son can go to Madison someday. I want to stay in Green Bay. He did turn down, though, a bigger offer from the Vikings to stay in Green Bay. And then when he retired, he did not go to Minnesota as a lot of tea leaves thought he might.
You know, that my last year in Green Bay, the Packers came to me and asked me to take a pay cut. And I did. I did that because I knew that I wanted to play there for another. My goal was to play until I was 40 years old. And unfortunately, it didn't go that route. I took the pay cut. And as you know, they did some things that was a little bit upsetting to me. But we all move on. I forgave them for that opportunity, and I moved on. And, I still love the green and gold, and I love the fans that supported me. But I promised the fans I could have retired, went and played some way off. Minnesota did offer me a hell of a deal. I turned it down. And I
decided
that I'm going to play on to retire. And so, you know, when you promise something to somebody, you have to honor that. And I told the fans when I first signed my first big contract, I told them that I would never wear another color but the green and gold. And I had to honor that.
Yeah, just a little remixed edition of Donald Driver yesterday on the Wendy's Big Show. Full interview again on the Odyssey app, 1250amthefan.com. Donald Driver, of course, played for Favre and then played for Rodgers. And so he went through a quarterback transition. They asked him about that on the Big Show.
I want to know about the transition from being with Brett Favre for so long, and now Aaron Rodgers is the new guy, because Devontae Adams may have to go through that transition from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. Is it just important to just create chemistry with a new quarterback and you got to be professional, or it can be some, you know, it can be some uncomfortable things going on in meetings?
You know, I don't think it's anything uncomfortable. I think you have a job to do, regardless of who that is. I mean, I think for me, I knew that one day Brett was going to retire and walk away from the game, and I knew that it was going to be Aaron Rodgers or Craig Knoll or, you know, Matt Flynn, whoever that is, Doug Peterson. No one knew. I mean, so at that point, I have to do my job, and my job is to catch the ball. And I think that's where Devontae is going to have to understand that regardless of who throws the ball to him, you still have to catch it. And so I don't think there's any animosity between anybody. I think we all know that our time comes where we all have to sooner or later walk away or go somewhere else. And whatever that may be, the only people that know that is the individuals. And so no one knows what's going to happen. But I will say this, there's not going to be any animosity moving forward. Devontae, he's a hell of a receiver. I think the only way he understands that he continues to play this game as he wants to is to have that connection with the quarterback, whoever that may be.
I think that when I look back at where I have alienated people or upset people, it's one of the things that I do is I say something early because I like to look ahead a lot. I like to look in the moment, talk about the moment. I like to look ahead a lot. And I'm looking ahead at this Devontae thing, and I want to tell you guys right now, it is not 100% locked that he is going to sign his next contract in Green Bay. And I just want to put that out there. What if Rodgers goes somewhere? What if they trade him? Devontae's a free agent after this year. What if he wants to go play with Rodgers? Let's say a team has a ton of money. They sign Rodgers. They trade for Rodgers. Devontae's like, oh, crap. I got to play for Jordan Love? I'm going to play for Aaron Rodgers. I think it's likely he signs. But again, I don't even know that. I'm just putting it out there. Don't get mad. who did I just get a tweet from? Chris says, I hate you. Well, yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah, get in line.
Sam's not fond of me either. But here he is.
No, I was saying that in your defense. You know?
Oh, okay. Like,
get in line.
I thought you meant you first want to swing at me.
Oh, no. I'm good.
You better be good. I pay you money occasionally when you win Venmo.
Yeah.
When you win Cameo Challenge.
How else am I going to eat?
You know, that guy I don't like, John Rothstein, college basketball? He's on Venmo. He's always the guy that goes, this is March.
Oh, okay.
$100!
Wait, you can see what he does?
Well, yeah, you can see some of his cameos. He puts them up as examples, but he's charging $100.
Oh, geez, what a waste. I feel bad for those people who spent that money.
God, how could you like John Rothstein that much? So I'm just saying with Greg Jennings, with Devontae Adams, let's not assume that he is going to finish his career in Green Bay first and foremost, but also that his next contract, they got to start working on that. And does Rodgers tie that up? I don't know. There's an interesting tweet that I saw from friend of show, Peter Bukowski, on the Locked On Packers podcast, who is also on the Odyssey app with the Locked On Packers podcast. He tweeted, I missed this the other day. I haven't seen much about it. Ian Rappaport said on McAfee's show that the Packers did want to convert Rodgers' base into a signing bonus. Rodgers wanted an extension. Neither happened, so Green Bay moved money with other guys. The Packers don't need Rodgers' permission to move money, but that doesn't mean they wouldn't seek his approval. Rodgers wants to stay here, but the Packers don't want to commit to this next year. It's as simple as that. The Packers might want Rodgers next year, but they don't want to make that decision now. Because if Jordan Love, he doesn't need to be better than Rodgers. He just needs to be good enough to make the move. And as soon as they think he is, Goody's going to make the move. Now, the more that Rodgers plays with LaFleur, the more that LaFleur may actually push back. And you could see a schism between Goody and LaFleur. Why would LaFleur want to move on? Guy's taking me to 2 NFC championship games. I was a no-name coach. And now I'm like, I'm somebody. I kick field goals when I should take touchdowns. Mathematically, it's a terrible decision. But I've been to 2 NFC championship games with this guy. So that's something that I think Jair, they're probably going to extend him soon. And they're not going to let him go. Devontae, I'm like a 3 out of 10 on the concern scale.
Do you think Devontae gets his deal, but there's probably like a player option in there after like a couple of years?
Did they just give a player option to somebody? That was the Brewers. Yeah, I don't know that the Packers would do that. I don't know.
I feel like that'd be I understand the Packers probably wouldn't do that, but I feel like that'd be a smart move for Devontae.
Well, either way, they do have Devontae this year, and we think they're going to have Rodgers. God, all these rumors. Driver thinks the Packers can get over that NFC Championship hump.
As we all know, I think it's players, right? I think they have to go out there and find teams, players that want to be there. Leroy, I tell you better. We both know, man. It's like it's hard getting guys to commit, especially free agents, to come into come into Green Bay. But I think now guys realize that this is an opportunity for them to get to a Super Bowl if they believe in it. Tom Brady proved it in Tampa, and I think Aaron Rodgers can prove that in Green Bay, that, you know, we're just one game away from making a couple of players away from getting back to the big show. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think they need some receivers in there to help Devontae. They have a great group of young guys, but, you know, as we all know, you have to be consistent week in and week out to be able to get to where you want to be.
Donald Driver plays with Brett Favre. Donald Driver plays with Aaron Rodgers. Not a bad career for Double D.
No, I don't think it was. I mean, Aaron will tell you, once Brett retired, I picked up the phone because I think we were always shocked. I got a message saying, hey, turn on the news because your boy's about to retire. and I looked at the news. I was shocked. I called Brett and said, hey, you good? He was like, yeah. And then I reached out to Aaron right after that. And I told Aaron, I said, listen, I need you. You need me. And let's go to work now. And we did. And And I think that was the case. I don't think there was any animosity between anybody. I think, again, it was the opportunity that he had, the opportunity to now show the world why he should have been the first-round draft pick in 2005, not Alex Smith.
Pretty amazing when Favre did retire. Rodgers was at the point. I mean, it was 3 years. And I think a lot of us look back on that Thursday night game against Dallas. Favre got benched because they were losing. Rodgers nearly brought him back. One more quarter, they might win that game. Favre on the sidelines, I'll never forget that face. He was not happy because he knew. So then he retires. I was at the Boys State Championship for basketball at the Kohl Center. A lot of state media there. I was covering then, at the time, LaCrosse Aquinas, who I believe did win. But I was like, screw this game, because Favre was retiring. We all huddled in a adjacent room and watched Favre cry and retire, and then it was on the cover of SI, and wow, it was major news. Favre retired, major news. And then I think a lot of Packer fans were like, this is big, big news, but let's look at what we've got here. We've got Aaron Rodgers. They planned for this. It's been 3 years. Favre did that interview on David Letterman, man. It was in the middle of the summer. Letterman, there were like scarce rumors. Letterman, what's going on with you? He says, Favre, well, something's bound to happen. Those words, something's bound to happen. And I didn't want to believe it at the time, but you knew he was going to try to make his way back. Then we were on Favre watch, watching his plane. He came to Lambeau. He wanted to play again. Murphy was like, no, get the hell out of here. And they traded him to the Jets. Now that I remember, I was at Coconut Joe's in La Crosse on 3rd and Pearl. The place where, I won't say what I'm going to say. A lot of stuff was spread at Coconut Joe's, and it wasn't goodwill. Let's say that. It was STD. But that's where I found out Favre was traded to the Jets. And now with Rodgers, I mean, it's so crazy, this whole Rodgers thing. The guy won the MVP like 10 days ago. He was named the MVP. And the Packers can't commit to 2 more years of that? Now, he's under contract, yes, but there's that out. And it's not even an out. It's just if they trade him now, it's 30-some million against the cap. If they trade him next year, it's all the way down to like 14 or 15. And then you justify it because you're not paying Jordan Love anything. Although they've already guaranteed that whole contract. I mean, that Gutekunst is, God, he is itching so bad to get Jordan Love under center. He's the one guy doing it. He's like the one guy that wants it. If Jordan Love's the next quarterback of the Packers, fine. Let it play out naturally. The way he's trying to force it and really jam it in there, I think I don't fly with. So much more of this throughout the day. I know Rami will touch on it a little bit later. Jordy Nelson was on McAfee's show. I'd play that for you. I didn't listen to it. I don't know if he swore, so I'm sure they'll clean it up by the time. And not him, McAfee. I mean, I love to play Mac. I'd just put McAfee up now and just play him raw. But he's one of those guys that's got to tinker in an F-bomb because you can. Like, if I could swear on the radio, I've been advocating for this, I wouldn't just say, the effing Brewers beat the effing Cubs, effing, effing to effing. You would use it for effect.
Right.
So that's why I want to swear on the radio.
One day.
One day. I think one day will be allowed. Although radio's like the last frontier with that. It's like you can swear everywhere else. No one cares. You watch TV, they're swearing all the time.
Podcasts.
No one cares. Terrestrial radio. I'm not even sure if I can say, I won't even say it. I don't even know if I can. Crap. Rules very strict around here. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz. We will take a look ahead. Some more NFL stuff, some MLB stuff, but really want to talk more about the NBA, because you look at the East and you see the Bucks, they win yesterday against the Timberwolves. Nets and Philly played last night, at least a version of the Nets did. So Philly wins that game. They win the tiebreaker. The Nets do not care about any of that. They don't care about seed. They don't care about home court. They're going to be a top three seed. We'll play whoever because they're good enough to do that. I don't think the Bucks are at this point. The Bucks, I really want them to get the one seed, not for home court, to avoid having to play Philly and the Nets in back-to-back rounds. Because I think even if you do somehow beat the Nets or if you beat Philly to then go through that series and to play the other one, it's going to be a tall order. We'll talk about that coming up. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz on The Fan. 1250 AM The Fan from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz. Ryan Horvath, BetQL Daily. One of the many fine betting programs you can find on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen to. Another one, You Better You Bet, Nick Kostos. One of the hosts on that. And the inventor of Wagertainment. Been talking about the Heat a little bit today. They lost to the Nuggets last night. The new look Nuggets. And not in a good way. Not in a way that they were hoping for. Their new look because Jamal Murray's hurt. And so they got to play without him. Aaron Gordon came over from Orlando. 16 last night. Porter Jr. 25. Jokic, a pedestrian night for him. 17 and 11. But they do beat the Heat yesterday evening. And the Nuggets, I think you look at some of these odds, Nick. I mean, their odds obviously plummeted. Without Jamal Murray, they're not coming out of the West. You've already got Phoenix. You've already got Utah. The LA teams are not going away, even if they're kind of coasting. But does not look good for Denver at this point.
No, and I don't think, to be fair, like, I never thought they were winning the West, even with a healthy Jamal Murray. But, I mean, obviously, this kind of, like, really, like, destroys that. And I think, you know, you're asking, like, who does it help potentially here? Well, right now, and I think we have to give the Lakers a lot of credit. They went 4-3 on this recent seven-game road trip, one against the shorthanded Charlotte team. But the Lakers have really been keeping their heads above water, right, without LeBron and Anthony Davis. When LeBron got hurt, looking ahead at their schedule, I think we might have talked about this last week, you know, a really brutal schedule where there was a case to be made they were going to be in the play-in tournament when it was all said and done, seeds 7 through 10. But, you know, now it looks like that's not going to be the case here. They're in the fifth seed right now in the West. We'll see. Anthony Davis is supposed to be back at some point in the next, like, 10 days. LeBron back after that. So they will get those guys back here. But right now, if the season were to end today, the 4-5 matchup in the West would be the Lakers and the Nuggets. And, like, LeBron and AD are going to be back. So, like, it wouldn't have made a difference probably even if Jamal Murray were there, right? The Lakers would be able to win that series. But now, especially, like, without Murray, like, no chance for Denver in that series against the healthy Lakers team, if indeed that's what the matchup is. And right now, it looks likely at this point. You know, things can change. Still a bunch of games left that the Lakers and Nuggets will be that first-round matchup in the Western Conference, which is obviously great news for the Lakers. So Denver's odds right now at Bet Rivers dropped to 20-1 to win the West. I wouldn't bet that. Dallas has better odds than them. I don't think Dallas has a chance. You bring up Phoenix at plus 900, Utah at plus 400. You know, I actually want to focus on here, and I know people are, like, more interested in taking, like, the better odds, right, with the Jazz or the Suns. I want to talk about the Clippers for a second here, and we have this slated to talk about on You Better You Bet later today that I kind of feel like the Clippers are maybe starting to become something different. Paul George scores 36 points last night and the Clippers win in Indiana against the Pacers. No Kawhi Leonard in that game. And it feels like Paul George is almost becoming something different. He's evolving into a more mature player almost, right? Someone who's capable of getting it done in the postseason potentially. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, he hasn't done it yet. Well, Kyle Lowry was also a choke artist in the playoffs until he wasn't, right? Until he actually got it done. So I'm not saying that the Clippers are, like, definitely going to be able to beat the Lakers, get to an NBA Finals, Paul George going to finally, like, shed that label, right, and ascend to the Pantheon perhaps, right, along with Kawhi Leonard here. But I do think the Clippers are really interesting right now in the West at plus 225. Lakers obviously the favorite at plus 175. I like Phoenix more than I like Utah, if only because Phoenix has Chris Paul, like, the steadying hands and the leadership. Phoenix plays tremendous defense, but I do still think this is a two-horse race when it comes down to it in the West, and it's the two L.A. teams, Bart, the Lakers and the Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, the Jazz are playing great, the Suns are playing great, the Nuggets were in that conversation too, but I think a lot of us at the end of this thing just think it's going to be Lakers and Clippers, that they've got the most talent, so we'll see if one of those other teams can kind of power through there. A team that's been getting a lot of attention this week is the Mavericks because Luka and now Mark Cuban come out and say they don't think this play-in tournament's a good idea. They probably don't think that because, well, they're probably going to be in it.
Obviously, we're trying to get this sixth seed. I don't understand the idea of playing. You play 72 games. to get in the playoffs, and then maybe you lose two in a row and you're out of the playoffs. So I don't see the point of that. But we just try here to get to the sixth spot, and I think that's our goal right now.
Okay.
Maybe even more than sixth spot.
We saw like a little tiny version of it in the bubble, so the NBA wanted to try it. I don't think with this play-in thing we can judge it until it happens. What I totally want with the NBA is the regular season to try to mean more, because what the Bucks are doing, I mean, they're barely playing Giannis over the last 3 weeks, whether he's really hurt or not hurt. And I want to get into the Bucks in a second, because I think they're really miscalculating like their path in the playoffs here. But with the play-in tournament, I don't know if we can judge it till we see it.
Well, I'm one of these people, right, as primarily like a sports bettor and someone who views content through that prism, right? I am less about like the quote-unquote like integrity of the sport and more about like give me more stuff, give me more games, more stuff to talk about, more stuff to bet on, just because I think it's more interesting. And the one thing that I'll say about this that's like non-betting related would be, you know, it's pretty rich, I think, for Mark Cuban and Luka Doncic to be like saving their complaints for now about this play-in tournament. When we remember last year, you know, the play-in tournament in the bubble was for like the 8 and 9 seed playing against each other, right, to get into the postseason. And Dallas was the 7 seed. And the reason why Dallas didn't participate in the play-in tournament is because the NBA didn't think it was fair to Dallas, because Dallas was so far ahead of the 8 seed, right? Like the battle in the West was for the 8 seed potentially. So it's like the NBA catered this around Dallas last year and gave Dallas basically the opportunity to not do it. And now, like, Dallas is kind of spitting in the NBA's face this year when, like, they're probably, like you said, going to be locked into the 7th seed and going to be in the play-in tournament, which is obviously, you know, it's just like, just shut up, guys. Just shut up and, like, win more games if you don't want to play in the play-in tournament. I think they're and Luka's kind of got this reputation now as being a complainer, and that's kind of like, I think it's probably justified at this point. So I'm kind of with you. I think it's going to be awesome. I think it adds more intrigue. It's more excitement. I don't care what Luka Doncic thinks. But get out there and play the game, buddy, and then we'll bet on the game. And maybe we'll bet on you, and maybe we won't. Get out there and play the damn game.
Yeah, and stop. Like, of all the people to complain, Luka, you're not the one guy that should be doing this right now. You already are getting a reputation for that, which, as you said, is a bit deserved. Over in the East, where obviously we focus on the Bucks, you've got the two teams atop right now. You got the Sixers and the Nets, okay? And then you've got the Bucks, which it looks like, I won't say they're locked into the three, but they're, you know, 3-4 games behind the top two, and they're 3-4 games ahead of the Hawks or Celtics or whoever's going to get the four. It's very, very likely the Bucks get the three. Now, they could still make a move. They've got back-to-backs with the Sixers and the Nets coming up. But in some of these games recently, I get Giannis was dealing with the knee stuff, but when Giannis sits, that you don't need everyone to sit. There was a game last Friday where they just sat everybody again.
Yeah, the whole starting lineup, yeah.
I feel bad for the people that, you know, this is like their night that they're like, okay, pandemic's over. I'm going to go to Fiserv Forum and finally enjoy my life again. Oh, Jordan Wara and Sam Merrill are going to play 20 minutes. Guys, thanks for coming, and thanks for your money. So I do feel bad in that way. But I also am like, why just give up these games? I don't want to see the Bucks get locked into the three. All right, you win your first round, let's assume. But then you're going to have to play the Nets and the Celtics, or not the Celtics, I don't care about them. The Nets and the Sixers, most likely. You got to get the one seed, so you have to play one of these teams. I don't like the Bucks' chance. If they're the three seed, maybe they beat the Nets. Maybe they beat the Sixers. I don't think, Nick, that they beat them both.
I think here's the problem also for Milwaukee. I do think that Milwaukee, like, what they would, well, it's not that I think. They would be the favorite. And probably a really good-sized favorite in whatever their first-round matchup would be, if indeed they're the three seed. And like you said, Philly and Brooklyn right now are tied with the same record, 37-17. The Bucks 3.5 games back of both of them, and then 4 games up on Atlanta, the resurgent Hawks under Nate McMillan, for the four seed. But if you're Milwaukee, and I think any Bucks fan, and Bart, I think certainly you can appreciate what I'm about to say. If the season were to end right now, the first-round matchup would be Milwaukee against the Miami Heat. And like, Milwaukee would be a big favorite again, just like they were last year. I'm not saying that I would definitely like pick Miami. Like, I did bet on Miami last year in the bubble. I just like their chances in that series. I'm not saying that I would bet on Miami again, but like, I can't imagine there's any Bucks fan out there that would feel comfortable going into a first-round matchup with the Miami Heat after what we saw in the Eastern Conference semis last year with the addition of Victor Oladipo. Even if Oladipo gives them nothing in the regular season, if he's able to be like the third scorer on this team and Tyler Hero continues to play well, I mean, that's a matchup that I think Bucks fans would want to avoid, right? And Boston right now is in the five spot, half game up on Miami for the sixth seed. And also, we're going to talk about this on You Better You Bet tonight, where I think the Celtics have kind of turned the corner as a team, where they have been really unreliable all season and very inconsistent. But now with Marcus Smart back and really playing at 100%, and Jason Tatum seemingly elevated his game to the next level, a 53-point game last week, a monster effort against Portland, including the game-winning three-pointer in the closing moments, where I think Boston's kind of become something different as well. And while Milwaukee is better than both Boston and Miami, and we've talked about this part, right? I think Coach Bud kind of stinks. Like, I don't think he's a good coach. I think they should have parted ways with him. You could have made the case they should have parted ways with Coach Bud after the loss to Toronto in the Eastern Conference Finals a couple of years ago, after, you know, Nick Nurse embarrassed him.
Yeah, I made it after Miami. I don't. When you say kind of stinks, you can be harder than that. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's awful. I don't think there's any question. He's a terrible coach, and like, the team's like too good for him. And like, and you might have to deal with Brad Stevens and Eric Spoelstra, who are unquestionably better coaches than Coach Bud. So yeah, I mean, I hate to say this, but I don't give Milwaukee much of a chance this year to come out of the Eastern Conference. And I know Bucks fans will be pissed off, and like, you're homers, and I get it. I understand you're fans of the team, but like, Milwaukee ain't beating Philly in a seven-game series. That ain't happening. They ain't beating Brooklyn in a seven-game series if the three guys are all healthy. Like, there's no chance of that happening. And then I don't think it's a loss they come out of the first round if it's either Boston or Miami, and their percentages say there's at least, like, a good chance that that's the case. So I'm not very bullish on Milwaukee right now.
Yeah, they could end up having the best team they've had here in 3 years, but they also, this is their toughest run. They missed their window. I don't. Maybe they still win at some point, but their best chance so far was 2018, and they blew it, and that's why you can argue about Coach Bud. Nick Kostos, You Better You Bet, joining us, Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Thanks to our friends as well at BetRivers.net. Baseball, a couple weeks through the season here. I want to get more in the NFL draft with you next week, but just regarding baseball, first couple of weeks, have you noticed anything that's changed for you, or any trends that you're a bit curious on and want to follow up on? What have been some takeaways for you first couple of weeks?
Yeah, I have some like really like specific stuff, which I feel like might not be like great for an interview like this. Like I want to bet Texas Rangers first five innings when Dane Dunning's the pitcher, like stuff like that. And for people out there that are interested in stuff like this, like Dunning only goes like 4 2/3 for the Rangers. Like, he's capped at like 70 pitches, but he's really good and he's pitched well.
No, I'll use that. I don't care, Nick. I need this for me.
Yeah, great. All right, yeah. So, like, Dunning is the guy in the Texas is like huge underdogs in a lot of these games. Another guy to watch, by the way, as a young pitcher who's at least for the next couple games is probably going to be like priced as a big dog because of the team he pitches on, is Casey Mize, who was the number one overall pick of the Tigers a couple years ago in 2018, who outdueled Zach Greinke the other night as a massive underdog. Tigers end up taking down the Astros. So there's a lot of like game-specific stuff like that, but giving you some more big-picture stuff right now, a couple weeks into the baseball season. I don't know if I'm shocked by this, but you know, Tony La Russa has really done not a great job with the White Sox so far. So I think that's something to watch for, is that the White Sox in a lot of these games will not have the managerial advantage with Tony La Russa. I'm surprised by how good the Dodgers are. Like, they are just like, they're like ridiculously good, like really, really like outrageously good. This lineup's kind of hitting on all cylinders. So I know sometimes in baseball, and there will be spots to do this, right? Because the best teams lose 60-plus games and the worst teams win 60-plus games, where there are spots generally to go against some of these huge favorites, like Bauer was minus 330 last night. I don't know that I'm really looking to do that at this point in the season, at least with the Dodgers, because that team is insanely good. And I guess the other one would be, I'm pretty surprised thus far by the early struggles of the Atlanta Braves. And like, they get the game taken away from them on Sunday night by terrible umpiring against the Philadelphia Phillies. And Max Fried has really struggled. Their number one starter has not been good. I do think at some point, Bart, we'll be able to kind of ride the wave a little bit with Atlanta. This team will get hot at some point. Like, they're too good, and they'll start winning games. But it hasn't happened as of yet, and kind of need to, like, wait for it to start happening before I believe it will and really jump on board. And I guess one other thing here, and sorry if I'm going too long with this answer here, and I said this before the year, as a Yankees fan, I was very concerned about this rotation once you got past Gerrit Cole. It seemed to me like a lot of, oh, well, like, if Corey Kluber can stay healthy and if Jameson Taillon can stay healthy, et cetera, here. You know, Gerrit Cole's been great through a couple starts. The rest of the Yankees rotation, 6.06 ERA. Now, the Yankees are the Yankees, and they've got the lineup and they've got the big name, so they're going to be favored in a lot of games. But when we have Kluber as a big favorite and Jameson Taillon as a favorite and Domingo Herman as a favorite and Jordan Montgomery as a favorite in these games, I'm not saying like blindly bet against the Yankees every game, but like these pitchers are not really good. So Garrett Cole's one thing, but like don't be scared off by the Yankees just because they're the Yankees, unless it's Garrett Cole on the mound.
Nick Costos, You Better You Bet. Find it today on the Odyssey app. Find it tomorrow on the Odyssey app. Find it weekdays on the Odyssey app, and the podcast available free at any time. Nick, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next week, and I thank you for your time. Enjoy the day.
Bart, just so you know,
yes,
I am super pumped to start doing NFL draft stuff with you. I've already, like, I am, like, probably, like, nipple deep at this point in my preparation for it. all sorts of excited to talk about that as well, the next couple weeks here.
Okay, next week we'll just do all NFL draft, and then the next week after that.
Sounds good.
Nick Costos, You Better You Bet, Odyssey app. Later today, if you're applying for a home renovation loan as he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, and you're feeling anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com. I'm going to attempt a new segment called Try to Throw Sam Under the Bus.
We got some little breaking news if you want it.
Let me do this first.
All right.
They'll take a second.
All right.
Would you rather I talk about the breaking news or the WNBA draft?
Oof.
Now, you can throw me back under the bus by saying, let's talk WNBA draft tonight, because then I'm screwed. I do know that the Dallas Wings have the number one overall pick because I am looking at ESPN.com. What's the breaking news?
Shams Charania reporting that LaMarcus Aldridge is actually retiring.
What?
Yeah. I don't know why, but yeah, he just put out a statement too on his own personal Twitter account.
Why?
I don't know.
Did he not play last night?
No, he didn't.
Is everything okay?
I'm reading it right now. It's kind of surprising, yeah.
Read it to me.
It's like five paragraphs.
How much time we got? 8 minutes? Don't read me the body. Read me the first and last paragraph.
All right. Today I write this letter with a heavy heart. My last game I played while dealing with an irregular heartbeat. Wow.
Oh.
Later on that night, my rhythm got even worse, which really worried me even more. And then the last paragraph, you never know when something will come to an end. So make sure to enjoy it every day. I can truly say I did that. LaMarcus Aldridge. Wow. That's scary. So like Chris Bosh kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of these times we just assume that these athletes, when they retire, it's just going to be like, oh, they're old, they're retiring. But sometimes they're like, I'm reading about this Jason Tatum stuff. You know, he's using an inhaler now after his bout with COVID. That's not good. Oh, he went to the hospital. LaMarcus Aldridge, I got the statement up here. He's better now, but it was so scary. He doesn't want to risk it again is, I think, the gist. Unbelievable. All right. Dang.
That kind of throws a wrench in all the Nets plans.
Yeah, I'm going to try not to talk about how this is good.
No, of course. I didn't even know he was dealing with stuff like that.
Well, a lot of these guys, you never do. Man. Interesting stuff. All right. I mean, yeah, that qualifies. Breaking news on the Fan. Powered by Odyssey.com Sports, presented by BetQL. Become a better sports better. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Very shocking stuff. And again, we hope he's okay. You know, everybody goes through their own different thing, but from what I'm just reading this statement and making assumptions. But he went through this thing. Doctors now say he's fine, or at least he could play. But if you go through it once, it's like, yo, I don't need to do that again. I'm good.
No, Chris Bosh had something similar at the very end of his career, dealing with heart conditions and stuff like that. It's just, I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge, I'm looking at his stats and all that, 16 years in the NBA. I mean, he's already 35 and all that. It's just not worth it.
The next morning, I told the team what was going on. They were great getting me to the hospital and checked out. Though I'm better now, what I felt with my heart that night was still one of the scariest things I've ever experienced. With that being said, I've made the difficult decision to retire from the NBA. And you know that couldn't have been easy. I mean, this must have scared him bad. He's got the chance to win a title. Man, oh man. Bummer. Oh, I'm glad he's okay.
Right. I'm glad, you know, that he can walk off in his own terms and stuff like that.
I wonder how much it affects him, like, in everyday stuff. I don't know if he has kids or anything, but if he's, like, outside playing or doing whatever, is he going to be thinking about his heart the entire time? I mean, you don't mess around with that. You only get one of those. Irregular heartbeat. Man, oh, man.
I also wonder, too, if maybe he already had COVID and stuff like that, and kind of like Tatum, he maybe is still...
Yeah, I thought about that, too, right away. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to... That I don't know. But even still, I mean, irregular heartbeat. Because that's like, you can't control that. I mean, you can eat right, you can, you know, but heart attacks, how many healthy stories have you heard? Oh, guy's got, guy runs 50 miles a day and then he had a heart attack. And then his brother, like, you know, it's insane. So irregular heartbeat, LaMarcus Aldridge retires after 15 years. He is okay. He's like, he's okay. But this scared him enough to retire. That is shocking. Wow. All right. LaMarcus Aldridge retiring. He's only with the Nets for about a couple weeks. Interesting.
I love a career. 7-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA.
Well, yeah, so he's good. He had a great career. That's why we were so... Like, oh no, the Nets, what the hell? Man. He gave back a bunch of money too, just the Spurs.
Yeah, just to, you know, get his buyout done.
Bomber. All right. Well, let's take a look at what's on tap for the rest of the day today. There's a lot of day baseball, I believe. We're talking morning baseball. I better get my lineup set in DraftKings. We got Mets Phillies here this morning, Braves Marlins. Pittsburgh, San Diego, Baltimore, Seattle. These are all underway before noon. Bucks, of course, play today, 6:30. Only a few games tonight in the NBA, but the Bucks are one of them. They play the Hawks. I don't know. I'm not going to read too much into this game one way or the other. I don't know if you can. I mean, if the Bucks lose to the Hawks tonight, are you going to freak out because the Hawks are going to play without half their team? Are you going to freak out? I mean, Giannis, I don't think he's going to play with the knee. He could. I don't think they do it. But also, what I don't want to happen is Bogdanovich to have a big night. That's all I don't want.
Like Eric Bledsoe in the first matchup against the Pelicans?
Yeah, and Bledsoe's been terrible.
Yeah.
Since that game, he's been awful. Didn't he get benched there? He's been bad.
I don't know. Pelicans are tough to watch now. I mean, they still got Zion, but they're so bad defensively.
I don't know how they haven't been able to figure it out, I guess. But the Bucks do play tonight, 6:30. Brewers have the day off, and then they'll start a series with the Pirates tomorrow. A lot of good stuff with the Brewers. I mean, the you know, in sports radio, you always want, like, should this guy have pinch hit here? Should this pitcher have done this? You know, we love the confrontation. But sometimes it's just, hey, look, we got to tell you, right now, Corbin Burns is amazing. That's the story. Brandon Woodruff is amazing. This pitching staff is very, very good. Travis Shaw, we'll talk more about tomorrow. You know, I'm just so excited that at least these first couple of weeks, there's a good redemption story here. A lot of you maybe turn your head. How do you not? Guy had a terrible, you don't exit too many places worse than Travis Shaw in Milwaukee. But what I love is that Council's always been in touch with him. Council talked about this. He's like, I stay connected with Travis. We knew that someday this was a possibility. It's the home run yesterday. Brewers win. So off day today, Bucks tonight. LaMarcus Aldridge, the big serious news, retiring. Well, I guess it's serious too. A-Rod and J-Lo broke up this morning too. A lot happening here today. Just a lot to chew on. Big Show will take it from here, 10 to 2. Sparky's Midday Madness at 2. Rami, 3 to 6. Next on The Fan.